David had his mighty men. The Bible said he had his mighty men. Within those mighty men, he had a few that the Bible says was set apart. Jesus had the same thing. Jesus had his squad. He had 12, but he had three that he invested in, that he spent time with, Peter, James, and John. They all had that West Coast prophet, Nipsey Hussle philosophy. What'd he say? He said, the circle got smaller, not everybody can come. Some of y'all got that. I feel like I'm in my circle today with men like Brandon Estelle, Dr. Perry, Dan, Tim Dunn, I'm so honored to be here. David had those few that rose above. One was named Benaiah. If a Navy SEAL in a green beret had a baby, you'd have Benaiah. The Bible says that he killed a 7-foot Egyptian, took his own spear and killed him. The Bible says he fought with a lion in a pit on a snowy day. One of those men is Shema, and Shema is who we're going to learn about today. Our text is 2 Samuel chapter 23. Just two verses this morning. 2 Samuel chapter 23, verses 11 through 12. We're going to learn about David's mighty men, but we're going to learn about one that stood above the others. 2 Samuel 23, verse 11 and 12. Next to him was Shema, son of Agi the Harite. When the Philistines banded together at a place where there was a field full of lentils, Israel's troops fled from them. But Shema took his stand in the middle of the field. He defended it and struck the Philistines down, and the Lord brought about a great victory. Thus says the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Some of you need to hear this morning that more times than not, the most courageous thing we can do is just stay. There are moments in your life that will come down to one decision. Will you stay or will you run? Every one of us will face this question. Some of you woke up this morning looking this question straight in the face. And if you didn't, you will have to look this question in the face. You will have to answer, will I stay or will I run? For the sake of your marriage, will you stay or will you run? For the hearts of your children, will you stay or will you run? For the reform of your community, will you stay or will you run? For the name of King Jesus and his church, will you stay or will you run? Praise be to God that he gives us Shema. Shema's story is only two verses long, but it carries the weight of a lifetime. If you're ready, say, I'm ready. Well, you ain't ready. You about to be. Israel is in a field. They're gathered in a field, and the scriptures tell us that the Philistines show up, and they show up in full force. The pressure rises. The fear begins to spread, and the men of Israel do what men often do when the costs get too high. They run. But not Shema. Shema steps into the middle of that field. He turns towards the enemy and he plants his feet. And you need to notice, church, that this is not a field of gold. It's not a field full of treasure. It's a field of lentils. I'm talking beans, not even magic beans. These are ordinary, common, unimpressive lentils. The kind of thing that you could easily look at and say, that's not worth fighting for. And listen, some of you by your action and your inaction have said, that's not worth fighting for. Your actions or your inactions has said, my marriage ain't worth fighting for. Your prayer life or lack thereof has said, your children are not worth fighting for. Your attitude or disposition towards God's church has said, this is not worth fighting for. Your casual dealing with your sin says your character, your integrity, your soul isn't worth fighting for. Not Shema. Shema knew better. This wasn't just dirt and lentils. This was ground God had promised, ground he had entrusted to his people. Shema understood something we need to understand. What looks small to the world can be sacred to God. Your marriage may look and feel small. It matters to God. Your kids may look and feel like a burden. They're not. They matter to God. Your job, your church, your integrity, your morning routine, your little corner of influence. It's all lentil fields, y'all. Nothing flashy, nothing going to get you applause, no awards. Your life is not going to go viral. They are not going to make a movie about you. But lean in. If God entrusted it to you, it's worth defending. Shema didn't get to choose a more impressive field. He simply refused to abandon the one God put him in. Everybody else ran. Shema stood and he fought. Loved ones, I need you to fight. We need more godly men and godly women who are willing to stay. A few things we learned this morning from Shema. First, courage is revealed when others retreat. Israel's troops fled, the scriptures say, but Shema took his stand. Notice the contrast. Some run, some stay. Courage is not revealed when everybody is moving in the same direction. Courage becomes visible when the crowd starts running the other way. Anyone can be faithful when faithfulness is celebrated. Anyone can lead when leadership is applauded. Anyone can stay when it costs you nothing. But courage shows up when obedience gets expensive. Shema watched other men leave the field, and he had every excuse to leave with them. But Shema refused to let another man's retreat determine his responsibility. And listen, that's a word for you. We're living in a culture that constantly gives us permission to quit, that gives us permission to leave. Quit when it becomes inconvenient. Leave your spouse when the fire grows cold. Check out when your children become exhausting. Stop listening when the one speaking is on the other side of the aisle. Hide from leadership when it attracts criticism. Retreat from conviction when conviction costs you something. And this is how sinful we are. We take leaving and then we rename it. We call passivity peace. We call being a coward being careful. We call disengagement self-care. We call avoiding responsibility as setting boundaries. That's a joke. Biblical courage is not built around avoiding what's difficult. It's built around faithfulness to what God has assigned you. The fact that other people abandon their post does not release you from yours. You don't need everybody standing with you in order to stand. If you need to be the first in your family to break the pattern, by God's grace, break it. If you're the only person in your office refusing to compromise, by God's grace, refuse it. You may be the only father who says, as for me and my house. Well, if that's you, say it loud. You may be the wife who keeps fighting for their marriage for your sake and his sake. Keep fighting. You may be the only person in your church who keeps showing up, serving, giving, praying, discipling, and telling the truth. Church, I tell you, keep showing up. Sometimes courage looks dramatic. Most of the time, it simply looks like staying when it would be easier to leave. I believe God is still raising up men and women with the spirit of Shema. Men who will stand when others sit. Men who will stay when others scatter. And men who will fight when others fold. Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is deciding that obedience to God matters more than your fear. That's courage. I've got a friend named Darren Kinder. Darren is a U.S. Secret Service agent. On September 11, 2001, he had just finished his workout in the basement of the World Trade Center. He tells me the story, he was putting on his suit, and he said, "Chris, most days we don't wear a suit. It's not the black suit that you usually see. Most days we're in plain clothes because we don't want you to know we're there." He said, "But today we had a dignitary meeting at the UN, so we were all in black suits." He said, "I remember sitting in the locker room. I was lacing up my shoes, and I was about to tie my tie when I felt the ground beneath me begin to shake." He said, "At first, I thought it was an earthquake. So I gathered my things and I began to run up the stairs only to discover that we were under attack. Someone had flown a plane into a building." He said, "And you have to think about it. It's a jetliner full of jet fuel and it's flying into offices, the World Trade Towers, their offices. It's nothing but paper." He said, "The whole thing went up in flames. So there I am. My tie's not even tied. I'm halfway put together. I'm trying to get people down the stairs and out of the building. We're fighting fires and we're fighting smoke. And then all of a sudden we look up and a second plane hits. At this time, the building starts to crumble in on itself and we're trying to get as many people to safety as possible. I'm down on the ground floor. I see a big tanker truck. And I think if I can just get people up underneath the truck, they'll be safe. And as I was running to the truck, the Holy Spirit told me to keep running. Only to look back to watch part of the building fall and flatten that truck." He said, "For the next 7 hours, we fought back fires. We rescued people." He said, "I was beaten. I was bloodied. It was so hot that the soles of my shoes had melted to the ground." He said, "At 2:30, we found a radio. And we were able to tune it in, and we discovered that all the Secret Service agents were rallying at 34th Street. He said, "So me and two other agents, we found a car. We drive to the rally point at 34th Street. He said, "We walk in, and you can cut the tension with a knife." He said, "On this side of the room were agents that were beaten and bloodied, no tie, no belt, missing shoes. And he said, "On this side of the room were agents that looked pristine." And he said, "Immediately we knew who stayed and who didn't." And he looked at me and he said, "Chris, when you bury me in a dirty suit. Ain't none of us getting to heaven clean, y'all. You ain't walking into heaven well rested. No, we in a fight, and we will be in a fight till King Jesus comes back or brings us to him one way or another." Question is, will you stay? Will you stay and fight? Yeah. Courage is revealed when everybody else is running. Second thing we learn is fight for what matters, even if it looks small. Fight for what matters, even if it looks small. It's a field of lentils, y'all. It ain't impressive. It's not flashy. It's not valuable by the world's standards, but it mattered. So I want to ask you this morning, what's your field? What's your field? Your marriage? Your wayward child? Your integrity at work? Leading your home spiritually? Opening the Bible with your children? Showing up at church when you're tired? What's your field? Don't underestimate the lentil fields that are in your life. The enemy rarely comes at you with some massive temptation. His strategy is much quieter. He just wants you to stop attending the field. He doesn't want you to hate your wife. Just stop pursuing your wife. He doesn't want you to hate your kids. Just stop praying for your kids. Stop gathering your family around God's word. After all, it is travel baseball season. Stop serving. Stop confessing sin. Stop doing the small, unseen things that faithfulness requires. Satan understands something that we often forget. Small compromises eventually become surrendered ground. One of the great lies we believe is that if we're going to do something for God, it has to be big. Big platform, big ministry, big influence, big moment. And when the big moment never comes, we end up doing nothing. Satan has deceived us. He told us to do great things for God, because when we don't, we stop doing anything for God. But the kingdom never advanced through great men. The kingdom advances through ordinary men and women. Ordinary men and women, faithful in ordinary places. It's why Zechariah says, do not despise the day of small beginnings. Don't despise the small prayers. Don't despise the bedtime Bible story. Don't despise the conversation with your son in the car. Don't despise showing up to work early and doing your job with excellence. Don't despise another date night with your spouse, another Sunday in church, another morning on your knees. You call it small. God calls it faithfulness. He calls it stewardship. We love intensity. We love big, intense things. God is just looking for a consistent people. Consistency is greater than intensity. Don't despise the small things. Three, watch this. Watch this. Stand your ground and trust God with the victory. Look at what the word says. It says, Shema struck the Philistines down, and the Lord brought about a great victory. Not Shema. Shema struck the Philistines down, and the Lord brought about a great victory. Don't miss the order. Shema stood, Shema fought, but God gave the victory. That's the tension of our faith. We are responsible for obedience. God is responsible for the outcome. Too many people want victory without a fight. We want God to fix the marriage, to reach the child, to change the culture. We want God to grow the ministry, to restore the family, but we don't want to stay in the field. And there are others of you in this room today, you fight like everything depends on you. So you grind and you push. And you carry everything on your shoulders until you burn out, and then you blame somebody else. Shema shows us a better way. He says, plant your feet. Swing the sword and trust the Lord. And listen, this has been big for me personally. I ain't preaching at you. I'm preaching with you. Church, I love to run. And I mean that. I've got a problem. Everybody else's field looks greener than mine. There are days when I look over the fence and think, man, I bet it's easier over there. I mean, that marriage over there looks a little younger, looks a little more blonde, looks a little more satisfying than mine. I mean, those kids over there look a little more behaved. They seem to be more polite than mine. I mean, that work over there looks a little more rewarding. I mean, look at that ministry. Don't that look more effective? And then I find myself asking, is any of this working? And that's when the other field becomes attractive. But listen, church, I am convinced God sent me here today to tell you that's not your field. This is your field. God didn't ask you whether you thought your field was easier. God didn't ask you whether you thought your field looks productive. He asked you to be faithful with the ground he assigned you. Some of y'all need to stop looking over the fence. Your neighbor's marriage may look easier. Someone else's house looks better. Someone else's career looks more fruitful. That might be true, but it ain't your field. God's not called you to be faithful over there. He's called you to be faithful right here. So plant your feet. Love your wife. Honor your spouse. Disciple your children. Do your work with excellence. Serve your church. Tell the truth. Keep your promises. Stay in the fight. And then trust God with what happens next. Shema defended the field. God gave the victory. That takes the pressure off you without removing this responsibility. Listen, you don't have to produce the victory. You just have to be standing in the field when God delivers it. Somebody's got to be there to receive it. I know you might have walked in here this morning tempted to quit. But listen to me, if God has called you to the field, don't leave it. Don't abandon your post. Don't surrender your ground. Don't hand your future harvest to a present enemy. Plant your feet. Call on the name of the Lord and fight. Heaven does not rally to the person who runs. Heaven rallies to the one who stands. And listen, when God shows up in a field, what looked ordinary becomes a place of victory. It's incredible. Everywhere I go, I keep a little bag with me as I travel. I travel a lot. I'll be walking around churches. I'll be throwing up the bag. People think I'm warming up for the next game. This is my bag of lentils. I keep a bag of lentils with me everywhere I go. It reminds me that I got a field I need to defend. It reminds me I got a marriage I need to stand for. That I got children I need to train. That I got a church I want to protect. That I've got a community that needs me. This right here is a reminder to stay and to fight. And listen, church, I can stay and fight. Why? Because it is the Lord who fights for me. It is the Lord who fights with me. Y'all know he's the treasure in the field, right? The man found the field. found the treasure in the field. The Bible said he went and sold everything he owned to buy the field. Why? Because King Jesus was in the field. He's the treasure in the field. So I can stand and fight no matter what comes my way. I can stay and fight no matter how dark it gets. What did the prophet Ben E. King say when the night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light I see? No, I won't be afraid. Oh, I won't be afraid. Jesus, as long as you stand by me. I'm not standing next to my problems looking at my king. I'm standing next to my king looking at my problems. You gonna handle that? He says, oh, we gonna handle that. So I can stay. And I stay and I fight from a place of victory. More times than not, when Scripture uses the word victory, it's the word overcome. It's the Greek word nikeo, which is where we get Nike. It means to conquer and to carry off into victory. It's a verb that implies a battle, because make no mistake, the Philistines are here. They're surrounding your marriage. They're surrounding your church. They're surrounding your children. They're surrounding your community. The question is, will you stay and fight? And the scripture promises victory to those who stay and fight. Promises victory. Those who are yoked to Christ. I know how the story ends. He wins. And those that are in him, we too win. So I get to stand with him. But this is what I want you to hear this morning. Before you can stand with Jesus, make no mistake, you got to kneel. He may be your friend, but he's also the one that spoke you into existence. You don't come to him with your head high and your chest out. No, we come to him with our head bowed and our hands open, like beggars looking for a sandwich. No, before we come and stand next to him, we have to kneel. The Bible says that every... Come on. I didn't write it, he did. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue will confess that he's Lord. And listen, it said every knee and every tongue. He doesn't become Lord because you make him Lord. He's Lord because God said he was. So we will either kneel, we will bow because of the mercy and grace he's given us, or we will bow because Psalm 2 says his iron scepter will shatter your kneecaps. Either way, you bowing. Every one of us. Oh, my prayer is you have kneeled before the King because of his grace and his mercy. I'm a nerd, y'all. I love the Lord of the Rings. I ain't ashamed. I love after they've secured victory against Saruman. King Aragorn has been crowned king. And he brings Frodo and Sam. He brings the Fellowship of the Ring. And they're there. And the king walks out. King Aragorn walks out. And everybody takes a knee. And I love what Aragorn does. He walks over to his friends. And he says, my friends don't have to bow before the king. And he says, stand. But make no mistake, they didn't stand until he said stand. When you bow before the king, he looks at you and says, hey, my friends don't have to stay down, stand. Hey, if you've bowed before the king and he's told you to stand, would you stand right now for me? Those who have surrendered their lives to King Jesus, that have trusted in him as Lord and Savior, would you stand? Can I tell you what the scriptures say? Victory. Nikeo. Anyone who stays and fight. The scripture promises victory to me and to you if we stay and fight. Do you know that? The scripture says that those who stay and fight will eat from the tree of life, Revelation 2:7. It says those who stay and fight will not be harmed by the second death, Revelation 2:11. It says those who stay and fight will be given hidden manna, Revelation 2:17. I don't know what hidden manna tastes like, but it probably tastes like KC burnt ends. It says those who stay and fight will be given a white stone with a new name. Those who stay and fight will be given authority over the nations, Revelation 2:26. Those who stay and fight will be dressed in white and their name will be secure in the book of life. Woo! Those who stay and fight will be made a pillar in the presence of God, Revelation 3:12. Those who stay and fight will be given the right to sit with Jesus on his throne. Revelation 3:21. And those who stay and fight will inherit all things, and belong to God as his children. Revelation 21:7. Church, refuse to give up ground. When everybody's running, stay. Your spouse is running, stay. Your children are running, stay. Everybody in your community is going the wrong way, stay. Stay and fight. Find your lentils and trust the Lord with the victory. Here in a moment, I'm going to pray. And after I'm done, we will be dismissed for the day. But listen, maybe you can't stand this morning because you've yet to kneel before the king. The best day of my life was when I came to Jesus. I got on my knees. I turned over self and sin and shame and guilt, and he washed me clean. And he told me to stand. Oh, I pray that you would do that today. I pray that you would kneel before the king so that he could look at you and tell you to stand. We have people that will pray for you, people that want to pray with you, people that want to hear Jesus is your king. Maybe though you've been standing so long, you feel a little weak this morning. What did Jesus say? Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and find rest for your souls, for my burden is light. My yoke, he says, my yoke. I love how Eugene Peterson translated that in the message. He said, anybody that's tired, come to Jesus and he'll make you light and free. Maybe some of you need to be renewed. You need to be recharged. You need to be strengthened. You need to be light and free this morning. We want to pray with you. We want to pray for you. There will be people down front that are willing to hold up your arms. Father God, thank you for this day. Oh God, that we may be men and women who stay. That Lord, when you show up with the victory in hand, we would be there to receive it, God. help us stay. In our marriages, help us stay. With our children, help us stay. In our communities, in our church, God, help us stay. When we get weary, God, when we get weak, God, when the grass starts looking greener on the other side, God, remind us of the field you've given us to defend. My field ain't got to be your field. Remind us of the place you've put us, God, and help us stay. And Jesus, we will do it in your strength, in your name, for your glory. And the people of God said, amen.